Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Welcome once again to the day after extravaganza known as the Steelers Hangover. And yes, indeedy, the Steelers have not been playing competitive football for at least a few weeks now. It's actually not at all in the month of January, but we still have plenty to talk about. We have a championship game madness yesterday, two overtime games, two very angry, disappointed teams. Makes me kind of think that if the Steelers were in it, and I'm usually not this kind of guy, that this would have been a really bad day because it seems like everything went against them, calls, craziness, dumb stuff, and I could see us in just a complete hissy today once again. But my friends, the Hangover is brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. My name is Brian Anthony Davis, and with me, as always, is my very good friend, Anthony DeFeo. Tony, how are you this evening?
Hello, Brian. I am I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Just trying to stay warm in Pittsburgh, and I can't wait to talk about yesterday's games. They were pretty exciting.
Yeah, I tell you, as a football fan, I don't know whether to be completely elated or completely just dumbfounded and angry after some of the calls in both of those games. The NFL quite possibly has a problem on its hands, and will lead us to a big question that will pertain to the Pittsburgh Steelers in just a little bit, and we'll go ahead and get to that. But as always, that's going to set up a really interesting Super Bowl, a rematch of a game that the Steelers should have been in back in 2002. Actually, I had tickets to that game, but a fan in blue and red ended up taking my tickets as the Patriots beat the Rams way back when the Rams were in St. Louis. It was the one they called the 9/11 Super Bowl, where U2 did the halftime show, and it was the first Super Bowl after 9/11 down in New Orleans. It's in a domed-type stadium once again, but this time it's in the Mercedes Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. So, Tony, what's your knee-jerk reactions from yesterday's games? And let's just throw in this knee-jerk reactions overall and knee-jerk reactions having to do with officiating.
Well, my knee-jerk reaction for the game is I think it's going to be an exciting game. I'm actually looking forward to watching it, believe it or not. You know, Patriots and again, I've kind of made my peace with their success. I mean, whatever, they're having a great era, so, you know, it's going to be a great game. As far as the officiating, I mean, what can you do? What can you do at this point? I mean, people are talking about the call against the Saints at the end of the game, and that was pretty egregious. I mean, how that's not interference, and the two against Joe Hayden in Week 16 were, whatever, I don't know. But what about the roughing the passer call against, you know, when the guy slapped Brady's shoulder in the fourth quarter when the Patriots were trailing? I mean, they were going for the go ahead touchdown there, and they call that roughing the passer. I mean, come on. People are talking about you need you need full-time officials. I don't know what full-time officiating really would even entail and what it could prevent. When you have these guys, they're so in their heads with what they have to look for, what they have to call. I don't even know if full-time officiating would help, but it's certainly a big problem, and it's sad to see games being decided by non-players.
Well, you know, I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I got to tell you, we talked about this right after the Saints game when the Steelers lost, and there were some pretty egregious calls, and kind of find it fitting that the first person making a lot of noise is Cam Jordan for New Orleans, who is one of those guys that was basically labeling Pittsburgh as a bunch of whiners after they lost that game and were complaining about the officiating. But, you know, it's a shame. I thought the New Orleans Saints, if I was in Who Dat Nation, which is the stupidest nickname ever next to Who Day, but if I was a fan of that team, I would be just absolutely enraged at this point because I thought this was a legacy tarnishing loss to Drew Brees. Now he did nothing to tarnish the legacy, but this was a chance for him to get his second ring. And you know, really, I thought they were ripped off because pass interference gets called, and they're marching right in, and it's just, and that was, in fact, you could take away the complaints that we had all season long, next to the blatant offsides in the Los Angeles Chargers game on December 2nd, this was there was no other Steeler penalty that was this terribly called than that pass on Nickel Roby. It just was bad. So if you're a Saints fan, what are you thinking today?
I'm thinking it's probably the worst loss in franchise history. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, if they call that a pass interference right there, they basically can run out the clock and, you know, kick a field goal if they wanted to. I don't know how many timeouts the Rams had at that moment, but it certainly would have been hard for the Rams to score at, you know, to come down the field with little, you know, what they maybe 20 seconds left in the game, you know, if it would have worked out in the Saints' favor. So if I'm the Saints, I'm feeling really bad. But at the same time, you know, the calls against the Steelers kept them out of the playoffs. So I guess it's just, you just never know when your number's going to be called. If you're a fan watching your team play in crucial moments, you never know when the officials are going to come up and bite you.
You know, another thing I'd like to bring up is the former official in the booth that has become very popular the last couple of years. I know Fox first did it just a few years ago, and now we have a couple of guys in the booth. Now now CBS has one. It seems like that's the big flavor of the month that they're having. Do you find that distracting, Tony? Because I actually do. It seems like they actually make it worse to me because they tell you that, oh, this is definitely going to get reversed or it's definitely not going to get reversed, and you're actually banking on what they're saying. And I actually feel even worse after the call comes back through and it's the absolute wrong call. So I kind of think that innovation has, for me, it's run its course. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like they're just like the other guys in the booth. They get it right half the time. So, what's the point? I mean, if they're not seeing what the guys on the field are seeing, you know, which they should based on experience, then what does that tell you about the state of officiating? It's crew to crew. You don't know what you're going to get from crew to crew, and it shouldn't be that way. But at the same time, what can you do to change it? I really don't know.
First fact or fiction of the night. And this is a feature that we're bringing back. In fact, it had its entire podcast just 2 years ago. So I'll bring back the fact or fiction aspect of the show. Fact or fiction. Penalties in officiating in the NFL cannot be fixed.
Actually, I'm going to say fiction because I think we have come to a point, and I know a lot of people are going to hate this, where there should be some kind of challenge system for certain penalties. Not all penalties, but certain penalties at certain points of the game maybe should be challenged. So I think there is a small chance that you could fix it, and I think it's a challenge system.
You know what, and we talked about that at length, especially after the Saints game, that maybe if you had only one you can use the entire game,
yes,
and go ahead and use it. But then I was – everybody I say that to says, well, you're opening up a Pandora's box. Well, you know what? I mean, what if it's limited to one? I mean, I don't know how that's – if you're righting a wrong, how is it really opening up a Pandora's box? I mean, I'm sure, yeah, I know there's things that go along with it, but really, I mean, you have guys that are being paid millions of dollars to play this game, stakes, and just getting to a Super Bowl. And what we saw yesterday, I mean, the Saints will never get that back. The Chiefs, I feel like the Chiefs were robbed too. I thought the Chiefs were robbed a couple of times. One time they were robbed on the Edelman Phantom no-touch on the punt, ended up not really mattering. But then somebody brought up to me tonight when I was out saying that, well, I mean, maybe they score a little bit sooner and they go ahead and it takes less time. So,
yeah.
And then they have more time on the clock to score a touchdown or something like that. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, ifs and buts, candy and nuts, we know the whole Merry Christmas thing with that. But, you know, I just feel like you brought up the roughing the passer, which wasn't. I mean, it was an arm motion down that hit him in the chest. But, and that's the thing. And then they go into the booth. They have the former official in the booth saying, well, you know, that's I guess it was just a bad angle and he didn't see it. Why can't we correct that? That's a problem. It
exactly.
Just continues to be a problem. And we saw with the Steelers this year. If the Steelers could challenge penalties, maybe Mike Tomlin's goose egg on that would finally turn around and he'd actually get a reversal. You know, I just don't understand it, why we see a wrong and we continue to let it happen. You and I are a fan of old school professional wrestling. I'm a big fan of professional wrestling, and it's always the thing, you know, it's like the official turned his back, he didn't see it, and then we have a new champion. But that's a script, and that's entertainment. This is more than that. We need to fix it. I mean, you can't right the wrong next week by giving a rematch like you can in professional wrestling. It just doesn't happen that way. They always end up righting that wrong because it always ends up to be a rematch and there's some kind of redemption. You can't get that redemption here. So
the good guy always eventually wins. In wrestling, but not in the NFL.
So, I mean, but then there's some people that are saying that maybe it is scripted because it kind of feels like it because we've got to make Tom Brady an all-time god, and it just seems that way. And I'm not that kind of guy, but makes me wonder sometimes that do they just want the Patriots to continue to win? Sour grapes and the phrase that they use all the time that drives me crazy, but it's true. You hate us because you ain't us. But, you know, it just drives me nuts. If the Steelers were in that position, if the Steelers were in that AFC championship game, I'm not even going to fact or fiction this one. They would have not gotten the calls, and it would be even worse of a day today. I can absolutely tell you that. Something's got to be done. We have a possible solution, but apparently it's opening Pandora's box, and you can't do that. But it's got to be as obvious as the birthmark on Drew Brees' face that something's got to be done. I know that was in poor taste. I apologize, but I had to get some humor out of this whole situation. But I thought Kansas City got ripped off. I think the fans got ripped off. I think the fans would have loved to have seen Pat Mahomes, Young Buck against old Cowboy and Drew Brees. I think that would have been just absolutely amazing. I guess you're getting that in Goff and Brady, but I think everybody wanted Chiefs, Saints. I really thought they did. But, you know, I guess enough sour grapes there. But the big question is, and we always take this show and we pertain it to what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what is the biggest problem that everybody has identified as the biggest problem with the Steelers, Tony, and that is the defense? But after seeing yesterday's games and watching teams lose leads and have a lead with 35 seconds left and it still gets tied, you know, the Patriots took the lead with 35 seconds left. I mean, no lead was safe. If you would have had a chance to get the ball with 10 seconds left, it might have not been safe yesterday. It was just that insane.
The score of the game was like 14-7 into the fourth quarter, and then the final score is 37-31. It's almost like they just wait. The offense just for either team just flips a switch, and it's like, all right, we can score anytime we want now. So it's just that kind of league now.
So my fact or fiction for you, Tony, is the Steelers' defense is not that bad. Defense is dead in the NFL. Is that fact or is that fiction?
I'm going to say it's fact. I mean, the defense isn't horrible. It's just impossible. The whole offense is down in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, the Steelers weren't able to. The Steelers' offense wasn't able to come back in the fourth quarter enough times this year. While the defense was giving up leads in the fourth quarter, but it's just indicative of what every team has to go through in the NFL now. I mean, it's even the NFC Championship game. The Rams. How much time did they have? Like a minute, to go down the field, and they could have scored a touchdown if Jared Goff would have seen number 17 going across the middle. He'd probably score a touchdown there instead of kicking the field goal. So. It's just Tech Mobile football right now. It's flag football 100 yards. That's what it is.
At the risk, Tony, and I agree with you. I think defense is dead all across the NFL after what I saw yesterday with some decent defenses on the field. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I hate the Patriots, but I do respect the way they play the game. I know I'm going to get killed for that because of Deflategate and because of Spygate, but I mean, I just think nobody adjusts better than Bill Belichick, especially if you played them in the season. Tony Romo, they always talk about that. But for me, I didn't realize their defense was that good. Defense played pretty good football in the first half. I mean, to shut out the Chiefs in the first half, especially at home, was absolutely amazing. So I don't think the Steelers' defense is as bad as we thought. I still think there needs to be a change. But let's go ahead and go completely over to the black and gold now. And let's do another fact or fiction here. And this is something that I had an article, fact or fiction, and I included this, and I'd like to talk about it now. fact or fiction, this is Keith Butler's final year as defensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that fact or fiction?
I have to say it's fact. You know, with the with bringing Terrell Austin last week, and I think he's up, his contract's up after this year, and I'm assuming they paid him a pretty good gave him a pretty good contract to stick around until Dick LeBeau retired. So he's probably getting paid more than your average defensive coordinator. So I think for financial reasons, they're going to keep him around one more year, but I think this is his final year.
You know what? I will agree with you on that. And the reason I'm agreeing with you is just for the fact that they don't want to eat his salary. They might as well at least keep him around. They haven't really defined what they're going to do with Terrell Austin coming in. He's a defensive assistant. He's something. I have no clue what he is, but he's a former defensive coordinator. So is he a guy that is a shadow and a footstep guy for Keith Butler? So because it actually works better that way for them. I mean, I would have rather them brought in a Chuck Pagano or a Greg Williams, or maybe the Greg Williams thing never going to happen, or a Marvin Lewis or something like that, someone that has a better pedigree than Terrell Austin. But at least it gives you an opportunity to try out Terrell Austin probably pretty cheap and go ahead and give one last chance to see if Butler could finally do as promised. And I don't think a lot of us think that's going to happen, but you know, it is indeed a possibility that they do have a better year. But with that being said, you know, it's not exactly what fans want, but the front office doesn't do what we want. They do what they think is best for business. And I guess keeping him around and not eating a salary and getting nothing out of him, when maybe a guy like Butler could help with the linebackers right now. They have not yet hired a linebacker coach, so I'm interested to see exactly what happens, whether Austin has something to do with them, whether Butler does. But I still think it's his last year. I think it's just not going to going ahead and just dropping that contract and eating it. But they did it with Todd Haley. They waited to do Todd Haley till after his deal was done. And so that way it's not a firing. It's just like, yeah, we just didn't extend you.
No, so I've done your contract.
Kind of the way they do business. The fact or fiction, Tony, the number one need in the off season, whether it be free agency or whether it be in the draft, is a quarterback over an inside linebacker. Is that fact or fiction?
No, I'd say it's fiction. I think it's inside linebackers, definitely their biggest need. I think we saw that last year. They were vulnerable over the middle, especially in the passing game. So I definitely think they definitely have to try to find a way to close the gap between the linebackers they have right now and what Ryan Shazier was before he got injured. I think they definitely need to find that kind of guy.
Do you think C.J. Mosley is a possibility for this team?
I think it's a pipe dream. I would love for it to, I would love for it to happen, but the Steelers just don't do things like that. I wish it was a possibility. I would love it, but it doesn't seem like a very Steeler move.
They're going to have money, though. That's the thing. There's going to be money, and I mean, how crazy would Steeler Nation go if that money doesn't get spent?
Oh, they would go crazy. They would go crazy. But I mean, their track record in recent years with free agents is just so underwhelming. I mean, now we have the news with Morgan Burnett wanting released. You know, I hope they do. I really just hope they go for it. I mean, they have shown a willingness to do it. You know, with Joe Haden, although that was more of a fluky kind of thing. Nobody thought he would be released, but they have shown a willingness. So maybe they realize that they need. That they're one player away on defense, maybe, from getting this team to where it has to, where we all want it to go, and that's to the Super Bowl again. So maybe they will roll the dice this year and be really aggressive in free agency. I sure hope so.
Well, you know what? A lot of things are going to be – it's going to be very interesting with Antonio Brown most likely leaving. And, I mean,
yeah.
I would expect a team to give up a first-round pick and something else for a guy, Antonio Brown. I don't care if he's 30 years old. You get production out of this guy, and that production just does not seem to be dropping off at all. I mean, Jerry Rice comes out last week and says Antonio Brown wants to be a 49er. We heard him mention that before. I mean, like right when this happened, where he was liking a tweet that had him in a 49er uniform. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they have the number 2 pick in the draft. Would a team give up a number 2 pick in the draft to get a guy like Antonio Brown? Is he worth that?
Well, as a Steelers fan, I think he's worth it. But the more I read people online talking about his age and how valuable that number 2 overall pick is this year, I find it hard to believe that the 49ers would do it. But if they don't want to do it, if I'm the Steelers, I would say, well, then you're not going to get Antonio Brown. So that's just how I feel about it. You know, maybe the market isn't number 2 pick for a 30-year-old receiver, but Antonio Brown is not your average 30-year-old receiver. He's one of the best who's ever played the game. I think we can safely say that right now. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Memo to fans, they don't have to trade Antonio Brown.
Right.
They
don't. They don't.
Whatsoever. I mean, and this could be an ego thing for Antonio Brown if they go ahead and they're not getting great offers for him. He could turn around and do the, you know what, I had a change of heart, I want to stay here. And they could go ahead and do that. And that's something that I think actually could be a possibility, because when R2 came out and said, you know, I don't see a possibility of him staying, that actually, for me, it opened the door, especially with the good business and the picture of him tweet that Antonio put out. So, you know, I'm thinking that it could be a possibility. Then he goes ahead and turns around and takes the name off Twitter. And his side of the story is coming, and you never know. I mean, but I got to tell you, for my job, I was away last week. And the entire week I was studying mental health. And just mental health situations. And it was something that everything I'm reading, I'm thinking, my gosh, that's AB. I mean, we were talking about different kinds of mania and how people would just go ahead and spend exorbitant amounts of money in one weekend on crazy things. And then I'm looking at an Instagram of a ring with I'm not a mental health professional, but I'm looking at a $20,000 greatest of all time, a goat ring that he bought. I'm like, what does that really go with? I mean, how many times, Tony, do you leave your house and go, oh, I got to run back in, I got to get my goat ring?
Well, never. But then again, I don't wear jewelry, so I don't know. Maybe if I did, but I'm not the greatest of all time in anything, so it's hard to say. But I definitely wouldn't be wearing that anywhere, even if I was the greatest of all time, because somebody could just knock me out and take it off my hand. So I don't even know what use he would have for that right now, other than just to further his ego, like you said. I think that's all that is.
You're my greatest buddy named Tony of all time.
Oh, there you go. I'll get a ring. I don't know how much it's going to be, but I'll go out and get fitted for one before our next show.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to Jeff. We'll make sure that there's a bump for you.
I appreciate that. I could use one.
So you can afford that $20,000 ring.
That's right.
That being said, Now we're getting a little crazy. Lots of great stuff. I'm almost a little disappointed, Tony, because it was kind of a quiet Steeler week, and it's just maybe I'm relieved. It's just not what we're used to here we're used to. It seems quiet for what has been happening as of late. I'm sure it's going as soon as I get off the phone, it's going to kick up and go crazy again because it seems like with Le'Veon Bell and now Antonio Brown, I liken the situation to the Friday the 13th movies. And it's like you have the teenagers, they think it's all done. They're laying there in a tent, arm in arm, you're comforting each other, and they're like, yes, the worst is over. Next thing you know, a knife just comes slashing the canvas of the tent and just completely beheads the guy and lops off his head, and then the young co-eds running around like crazy trying to be safe while this idiot in a hockey mask is chasing you. That's how I feel being a Steeler fan and a blogger these days, because just when you think things are calm and they're going to get back to normal, a maniac lops off your head. So with that being said,
that's right.
We'll see what's ahead for us in Steeler Nation. But Tony, as always, my last fact or fiction of the night, and I'm going to go ahead and take it. It was a pleasure working with you again this evening. And my friend, that is fact. So be sure to catch us every week, even the off season, even when the Super Bowl's over. We have so much to do as a part of Steeler Nation. We're still going to be hungover every single week until we have football, black and gold clad warriors once again. So, Tony, have a great week. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for the kind words, and it was great working with you, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. We'll be previewing the Super Bowl and maybe talking about that Friday the 13th thing happening. You never know. We have a whole week to go.
Exactly. So, or it could be like Freddy, where you just don't go to sleep or someone will invade your dreams. maybe impel you with a goat ring. Who knows? But with that being said, for Behind the Steel Curtain, for Tony DeFeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. Thank you so much for joining us, Steeler Nation. And you, our friends, have just been hungover. Good night.